Hi, this is Billy Idol. You're listening to WSB Stonybrook 90.1 FM. Yeah, the station that plays the wide selection without objection.
Hello, I'm Abby Kearse, and recently I had the opportunity to talk with Billy Idol about himself, his solo career, and the breakup with Gen X. So stay tuned for the next half an hour on WUSB for a conversation with Billy Idol.
Of your new album?
Great. Well, yeah, it's only doing... Yeah, I know what you mean. It's doing well, relatively well. I mean, I've always had a lot of people interested in what I'm doing, but I suppose I've never had people of all sort of denominations or something liking it. I know that to a certain extent it's got across to a lot of people it never did before, but at the same time, Generation X, the group I was in before, always had a lot of fans, and so you know, it's nothing totally new to find that people like it to a certain extent. It's kind of interesting that it could make it into the American top 100. You know, I was pretty surprised about that. You know,
one of the hot songs that are out, A White Wedding, and I was wondering what the inspiration for that song was.
Yeah, well, it was quite a lot of things, really. One thing was, personally, my sister had a bun in the oven, and because she's in love with God or somebody, she thought she better get married. So, but like they wear white wedding dresses, you know, and that's against what the Bible says, kind of thing. Because you have to make them really fast. You know, everything has to be done really fast because you have to get the wedding done real quickly because the wedding dress has got to fit. You can't have that little bulge showing, you know. And that's what made me laugh, the kind of hypocrisy of it. And then I happened to see on this National Enquirer, my favourite magazine, that Charlene Tilton was on it in a white wedding dress with a green background with Dallas Star 2 months pregnant weds, and I thought, it's a fashion. They're all doing it, you know, it's fantastic. It's like religion means absolutely sod all these days. It's great. It's just, you know, you make your own rules up. It just proved what we said, really. It's great. That's what the inspiration was, but I think really the song's just more about absurdity, really, and people's emotions.
a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Speaking of inspirations, I was wondering what type of music influences your music?
Well, it's lots of things. I mean, it could be the most god-awful music you ever heard. I mean, sometimes, you know. But generally, I grew up with lots of things like the Velvet Underground and the Stooges and, of course, lots of English groups. But I think the ones that are most important were American groups, people like Lou Reed and... You know, like I said, Iggy, mind you, Bowie and Boland people were great. In England, for a long time, there was the same sort of thing that's been happening in America. There was just a lot of uninspiring heavy metal groups about, and it was only the few rock and rollers who made it interesting, who had any kind of belief in art at all as well, you know. Like Bowie and Boland kind of kept it interesting. But once they died off, it was up to us to make our own entertainment, and that's what we've done. And that's really my intention now, is... to not really rely on anybody else. You know, as long as I can make some music, at least I know I'm making some music, and then if I like anybody else's, I can buy it, you know, but at least I know I like my own. You get what I'm saying? You know, you make your own entertainment, then you're not at the mercy of others so much, you know. So that's what I listen to, but I do listen to lots of things. I like Suicide, The Cramps, Gun Club, things like that, you know. I don't really like jazz or nothing. I did try all that stuff, but, you know, I like simple music.
Do you consider your group a so-called dance band or just a rock and roll band that has a funky beat to it?
No, well, we're really a rhythm and groove band, really, but we are a dance band, but the difference between being a dance band and a rock and roll band is that we've got something to say. Whereas dance bands, you can have a rhythm, but it doesn't necessarily say anything. But I think our words speak about a lot of things that have happened to ordinary people. I mean, I ride the subway, I walk the streets. I'm not in a big limousine somewhere. You know, I drive about, I go into shops, I speak to people. You know, I have to like try and my phone don't work. You know, I get the bus. You know, really, I'm just quite a normal person. You know, like just like everybody is. That was the whole problem with things. People stopped believing they could be in groups because people started to believe the people in them were so godlike. Well, unfortunately, they're not. I mean, I ride the buses and try have trouble like anybody else. So I write songs that I think reflect what I see around me, right? So my music's, you know, it's really made... It's made for people who live in the world around us, not in some topographic ocean or somewhere. So, you know, it's just music that speaks for itself. So that's the difference. We are a rock and roll band, but we do play dance music.
How long have you been living in New York, and why'd you make the transformation from England to here?
I really did it for myself. I mean, England's a really great place. It's got lots of great ideas. I mean, it's usually quite first with a lot of things, although it's usually inspired by other countries. For instance, a lot of rock and roll in England was inspired by America. But it's really good for fast ideas, and you can get things done fast there. But at the same time, I really needed just to find some new people, and I needed to go somewhere where I wasn't totally accepted, or known even, so I could begin to live again much more, you know. I had to like learn about a city, learn about a place, so I moved to New York, and I thought, if I can't live there, man, I don't deserve nothing, because I've lived in heavy places, so I can take it. And I had to learn the subway, where everything was, talk to people. I mean, you know, everybody in New York's a foreigner, so it's weird. So for me, it was really good inspiration, and it gave me the energy to have to put a new thing together. So I've got the same energy I had when we started Generation X in 1976. So my new group is comprised of just ordinary people who walk about the streets of Manhattan like me, and the only difference is we, you know, we tend to do wilder things or look a bit wilder. We don't give a shit what anybody thinks. You know, if they don't like it, stuff it and don't come.
Speaking of Gen X, Dancing With Myself is still a very heavy hit in the clubs. And I was wondering, did you ever think, when you were with Gen X, that that song would have such longevity?
Well, I didn't know about what other people would think, but I really liked it because I thought it was one of the best songs we ever did. Well, at least it was one of the most complete songs we ever did, because I think it achieves what it's supposed to do on lots of different levels. But yeah, I liked it. I always liked it a lot. But I was really surprised just how much people liked it in the States, for instance. I really honestly thought maybe England would like it a lot more. But when I came to New York and I saw people dancing to it wildly, like almost like zombies, quaaluded zombies, it was it's almost amazing. I couldn't believe it. It's fantastic. It's one of the greatest feelings I've ever had. So that really excited me, and I found all over America that people really liked that song. So I was really more surprised than anything that people got into it as much as they did. But I always liked it. We stuck with it for 2 years before we recorded it, so we must have liked it, you know.
Could you tell me why Gen X disbanded? Just basically why?
Well, you know, people don't get on so well anymore. Long time goes by. You need freshness, inspiration. And the other thing is you need to be stronger. So the only way to become stronger is to have to fight against something. So you have to split yourself off from everybody and try again. And usually you get stronger. So that's what we did. And I hope, like, you get four different groups rather than one out of this, you know. But that's the way it goes, you know. It's what you got to do. We always said we'd change. That's what we've done.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Abby Kearse, and you're listening to A Conversation with Billy Idol.
You gotta toss and turn and feel alright.
I was wondering if you're working on any videos now.
Yeah, well, I just done one for White Wedding. That was really good. That's what I was doing in England while it was a bit of a rush going over here. Yeah, that came out really good. David Mallet did it. He did things with Bowie and the Kenny Everett video show. He did Fashion and Ashes to Ashes and all those ones, and he did the Kenny Everett video show, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
He did all that stuff. He's real good.
You did Solid Gold, and how did you, you know, feel doing that type of show?
Well, I mean, I've always believed that, if, you know, for the time you're on, the show becomes yours, so it isn't really Solid Gold anymore. It's more our 3 minutes, you know? I don't really think Solid Gold's a very good programme. I mean, I think it's very unimaginative. It's very cabaret-looking. But it's also, I noticed, very expedient. Like, what they're really out to do is just to show off a lot of different types of people singing, that's all, dancing, or whatever they do. I don't always think their content's very high. But, I mean, then that's a good reason for being on there. Because I feel if we go on there for 3 minutes, I think that we, you know, we give the young kids a chance to see something, you know, young. I mean, practically all the people on there are for, what, middle 30s to middle-aged people, you know. So I'd rather I was on there than Cliff Richard, you know. It's like I used to see David Bowie on Top of the Pops in England, right? And that can be the same sort of thing. But when David Bowie was on, we didn't care about Top of the Pops. It was, wow, David Bowie, you know.
Right.
Just
right.
Like when Jim Morrison was on The Sullivan Show, everybody thought, wow, Jim Morrison there. Yeah, so I sort of think we take over the show for those 3 minutes. And, I mean, I just hope that because of the success of groups like My Own or Human League or any new groups, the Cramps, any American groups, America, English, whoever they are, Australian, I don't care. You know, the more new things there are, that should force the TV people into making, you know, a show which can handle new groups rather than having the same old boring schlock on Solid Gold. But that's what I think about Solid Gold. I mean, you know, I sing that in Ready, Steady, Go, and I hate Solid Gold instead of I hate Thank You, Lucky Stars, which was the alternative English programme, you know.
You have a high opinion of the radio station WLIR.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, what do you think of college stations that have been basically being daring to be different all along all these years?
Oh, yeah, I think they're great. I think it's really brilliant. I mean, you know, it's just that at the minute, in terms of the general public, you know, WLIR is really important because it's getting to people who, you know, work in shops, dig coal, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they're the people who actually, you know, as much as students asking for the chance to have a choice to listen to different types of music. And I think, you know, it's fantastic that the student radio stations have been doing it for years. That means there has been that choice. It's just that for ordinary people, they haven't got that choice. It's, you know, top 40, heavy metal, or a black station, you know, which is great. Black stations, I think, actually are the most... out there. You know, they're the ones who actually take the most risks at the minute. But white stations are terrible. I mean, I don't know who's running them, the Gestapo or something. You know, they're terrible. But that's what I think. I think the college stations are great. It's just a shame that it's taken so long for their influence to have had any effect on the, you know, general ratings of ordinary radio stations. I mean, it's terrible to think that DJs have to play what they're told. I mean, you know, I mean, it's all misappalling. So I'd try and back up things like WLIR and K-Rock, and obviously the college stations go without saying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I was wondering, how long is this tour going to be, and what's in store for the future? What will you be working on?
Yeah, well, it's going on for about maybe a month and a half, I think. And then we're doing some stuff in Europe again. But, yeah, we're doing a new album around January, February. It should be out March, April, you know. So that's what we're doing at the moment. The White Wedding video will be out. There'll be a single of White Wedding, general release, and which they won't have anywhere else, except for here, you know. So it's already out in 12-inch, but and that'll be coming out in some more 12-inches too, I think. So, yeah, that's what's happening. There's a lot happening for us. But what we've got to do really is work on the new stuff. It's really important. That's what we're spending most time on, I think.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming down to USB, and good luck.
Great.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Abby Kearse, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Billy Idol, Ace Penna, and Stony Brook Concerts. You have been listening to A Conversation with Billy Idol on WUSB.